Well, it's a blessing, isn't it, to be here like this here. I'd like to read from 2 Corinthians 5. I think we'll start with verse 7. And if I were to title this or something, I was thinking, Being God's Servant. There's just a lot of good exhortation here through these verses. I'd like to read a little over a chapter here this morning. And there's just a lot of good teaching here for every one of us, no matter what our calling is here. Let's start with 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Point number one, I'd like to just kind of stop as we go along and mention things. The first thing I see here is it doesn't just happen that we please the Lord. We need a labor. Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. That means we work hard day after day to be accepted of the Lord. We want Him to accept us. And it doesn't just happen. We don't just, because of something we did in the past or some glorious victory that we won in the past, we don't just rest on that and just stop there and just coast. But we labor that we might be accepted of the Lord. We work. And it's not easy, but we're faithful. We work hard. We endeavor to do what's right, that we could be accepted of the Lord. And that, I know that just runs exactly head on. It crashes into the doctrine that we're always hearing all the time. You know, that, oh, God just accepts us all as we are. Just come as you are. He just loves us all no matter what. You know, that's what we keep being bombarded with. But think of this, what Paul's teaching here. It's really a precious thing that we have exhortation straight from the Apostle Paul clear back then. Wherefore, we labor. Back then, in the early church, they thought you had to really labor and work to be accepted by God. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So that's where it starts, being servants of the Lord. Being His servants is in our heart, with us, ourselves. Before you can go out and be a blessing to anyone else, you need to make certain that you're faithful, that you're a true man. We have a lot we'd like to tell people. We have a lot we'd like to do and be servants to the church and be a witness in the community. But none of that can happen till, first of all, we need to make certain that we are laboring to be accepted of Him first ourselves. And we're going to be judged according to how we lived ourselves. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. So it does work out from there. But when we first in our own heart realize the terror of the Lord and how we're going to need to give an account for ourselves, it does work out to others and affect those around us. We persuade men. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them, which glory in appearance and not in heart. See, there's a lot of people that glory in appearance and not in heart. They don't start with their own heart, themselves, first of all, making sure that they are pleasing to the Lord and accepted of Him first. Instead, they go out skipping that first step and try to make an appearance and say a lot of good things and push their point and just make a show. And they glory in appearance, but not in heart. So that's a good warning from the apostle for each of us. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And let me rephrase that a little bit there. I just saw it in a new way here this morning. The love of Christ constraineth us because we thus judge, or we understand it like this, that if Jesus died for everyone, then apparently that's proof to us that we would all have been destroyed, but Jesus needed to save us, and He died in our place. However you want to word it, He died for all. There's this story we were talking about last night on the way home that I thought about in connection with this verse to help illustrate this verse. Maybe I should read the next verse or so, get the whole context before I tell that story. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. So, just simply said, doesn't it make sense that since we've been rescued from destruction by this one, shouldn't we live the rest of our life for Him? Just, we wouldn't be where we are. We wouldn't have the blessings that we have without the Lord having died for us. There's, back in the Civil War, we were talking about how over in Southeast Missouri, there was, after the war, there was a time of anarchy, and just where, because of the war, there was a lot of hard feelings and anger and lawlessness, and there was this group of farmers in Southeast Missouri that, I guess the Northern Army was around, marching here and there and doing their thing and keeping order, is the way I understood it. And these southern-minded farmers would get together once in a while and ambush these soldiers and just shoot from the trees and annihilate a little group of soldiers, these northern soldiers keeping order. And so the government decided what to do, and they rounded up about 200 farmers or so from that area and just put them in jail and told them that they're going to kill 20 of them. And so they did that, and it stopped it. It worked. They quit doing that against the army like that. But there was one man that just was, his name was called. He was one of the 20 that were going to be killed, and they all were forced to watch this all at close range. And he was just crying, because saying, what about my family? What about my children? Who's going to feed them? Who's going to take care of them? And this other man was asking him about this. And he, whenever his name was, that man's name was called, he stood up and he offered that he'd take that man's place. And they said, well, there's no law against that. As long as we have our 20, I guess that'd be fine. And he went and was killed. And this man, for the rest of his life, he just was very thankful, and he just, I believe, saw every day in a new light, like this is just a gift to him because of that man who died in his place, you know. And so read
read these verses here. For the love of Christ, we love Christ. It constraineth us because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. I think that man was probably inspired, like verse 15 says, not to live to himself the rest of his life. I think he probably was inspired to, I don't know how his life went, but to be kind to those in need and to give and help those when he saw a need because of what that man did for him. So God sent Jesus, and Jesus did die for us, proving what a terrible thing sin is and how we would be destroyed and sent to hell if it weren't for what Christ has done for us. So we should not, from here on, with that knowledge and understanding, live just to ourselves each day, just doing whatever selfishly we feel like doing, because of what Christ has done. It's just a blessing to think about. Let's keep reading here. 16. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We'll stop there for a little. What has been committed to us? This ministry of reconciliation. Beseeching this world as if it was Christ speaking through us. Be reconciled to God. Get right with God. Please the Lord. Stop living in sin. Do right. Live right. Live holy. Please the Lord. Be reconciled to God. That's the ministry that we've been given. We then, as workers together with him, that's with Jesus, workers together with Jesus, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Why is now the day of salvation? Think there's another evidence of what salvation is, isn't it? And what true salvation consists of. Because if don't so many, we always hear talking about a time in the past on a certain date when they were saved. But if now is the day of salvation, that indicates that you don't get saved just by a little experience, right? Now is the only time you have to do something, to act. And that tells us what salvation is. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If you want to be saved, then start right now. Do something. Just do what's right. Please the Lord. Labor to be accepted of him. It's a walk. It's now is the
first day of the rest of your life, I heard one other brother say just recently here. That's true. Now is the only time you have to do anything. The past is all behind us, and the future hasn't been given to us yet. We don't know if we'll ever get it. Now is all we have. Just the present. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. God will accept what you're doing now if you're faithful, if you do what's right. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. And these whole next 10 verses or so are directed to all of us, to each of us, no matter if we're at home taking care of the children or away preaching or working or just laboring, whatever as a servant of the Lord we find ourselves doing. Think about these verses for you. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults. Have you been in a tumult lately? There's a lot of tumults go on sometimes in our ministry, in preaching, in maybe taking care of the children sometimes, whatever. There's just, but in whatever we find ourselves in, the tumult I especially wanted to lift out there, just because that's when the patience is tested. They were tempted to just start pulling our hair or just climbing the wall, getting angry or maybe upset or impatient. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience is the very first thing in this list. In much patience. In tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, with love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. I think Paul just had to stop and just, I think he was overcome with emotion there a little bit as he was writing this maybe. He was thinking about the Corinthians and what all he had endured to bring the gospel to them. And he just had to stop and clear his throat a little bit. Our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children. Be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. I think we'll just stop there.
Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. And so it's teaching for us, it's commands for us to do, to come out from among them and cleanse yourselves. You cleanse yourself. We all need to cleanse ourselves. Touch not the unclean thing. It's, in other words, it's up to you, it's up to me. What are we going to do? How are we going to live? What are we going to touch? It isn't just all up to God to do everything and just make us one of His sons or daughters. It's up to you and me if we're going to be a son or a daughter. It's possible. And you're welcome to be a son or a daughter of God Almighty. That's amazing, but that's the truth. But you're going to have to touch not the unclean thing. Come out from among the wicked. So let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. It's something that we need to do. It's just a blessing, the things that we've seen, isn't it? And how they just come out so clear as we read through the scriptures like this. I'd like to open it up now to what you've seen, what you've been encouraged with as we read over this, or just anything you have to share, really. Or anything you want to correct that I said, maybe, or just shed a new light on it. So fear is just a necessary part of life. It's going to... Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So that fear of God should move us to live holy. Amen. Amen. I appreciated that too. When I read that, I thought of that too. The same thinking there. If we get a little upset or something sometimes in preaching, don't just accuse us of pride. It's for your cause. Is there not a cause? Amen.
Good. created in our minds a concept of God that didn't have anything to do with here at all. And that was the beginning of our, instead of being the beginning of our wisdom, it was the beginning of our stupidity. And that's what we're, now that's what we have to deal with if we go try preaching the gospel. That we gotta break all that down and start laying another foundation for the fear of God. And it's a real challenge.
And people are scared. People are scared of the things that go bump in the night. They're scared that they're going to get cancer. They're scared that their car's going to break down. They're scared about all these things. Little children are scared that they're a big cat, or a wolf, or all these things that scare them. When, like Brian was saying, we go and talk to these people. They're not even in the least bit scared of God, of sending him, of the response. Paul says, because of the terror, the word fear is like terror. It's so scary that it grips us and seizes us with fear. I mean, the word terror is like you're so scared you can't even move.
Right.
But when that comes on, I was just reflecting this week. I had a chance to go by myself in Joplin. I was driving down the road, and it just occurred to me, I'm not scared anymore of really anything except God. Like, I remember I used to be scared of getting beat up, or scared of someone breaking the house. Just scared like a child. And I thought, I wonder when that all kind of, it just kind of phased out. But it's because when you have the fear of God, you also trust in God. And you believe God. And you know nothing. Like that man who was twisting that scripture last night. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Well, that's true. Nothing can except for you.
Right.
And so, you don't have to be worried about all these things that man is worried about, but the thing that mankind is not worried about, that we must be concerned about here and now. And Joe said it's absolutely true about fear.
Yeah. But the modern church is running away as hard as they can from that concept.
The exact opposite way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Thinking that it's just a terrible thing, that it's just awful if you fear God.
And that you probably really have a bad relationship, or you're wrong with God if you fear God. You probably don't even have the beginnings of knowledge.
Right. Yeah, and they want so bad to take us under their wing and just impart unto us this new, wonderful revelation that will just help us so much. Yeah.
Just the word of reconciliation. And then we
And it is condemnation for her until she accepts the reconciliation. It's just going to be that way, one or the other. What was that again, Brian?
She sees the cost of escaping condemnation as condemnation.
Yeah. Condemned to a life of solitude is what she kept saying, I think, something like that. Loneliness or something. Such tiny condemnations people are worried about when they should be worried about the condemnation of eternity. To get out, because if we just sit down and think, well, I've been saved, we won't ever get out of the enemy territory. Amen. Why time is so precious. It's just, it's what we have. Amen. So, anyway, anything else yet that you have? If not, just may God bless you in whatever ministry you find yourself in. Just
do it faithfully, and the labor that labor to be accepted of Him. And daily, taking up your cross daily, following Jesus. So, let's stand for prayer. And Brother Kevin, do you want to dismiss us? There.